Welcome to the Sarah Podcast with your host, Matt Rolfe.
Welcome, everybody, to the Sarah Podcast, episode number 9. If you want to learn more about this podcast, visit racesarah.com, where you already are visiting because, well, that's where you found the podcast. Welcome to the podcast, by the way. I am your host this week because Matt Rolfe doesn't want to do it because he's a wussy, but he is in here in the room with us along with Mark Gammack. The other guy, Clay, he didn't decide to come this week, so we're going to be doing it with the three of us. That sounded gross. I apologize. Anyways, later on in the podcast, we're going to be talking about the spring shootout, but for now, we are going to go back a week to the regular season and talk about, more importantly than the week itself that we skipped last week by not doing the podcast, but we're actually going to go back and talk about the picks that the four of us had made, and now that we have the two drop weeks taken out and in effect, figure out who it is that we chose versus who actually looks like they might be in contention to win. In some cases, we were very close. In other cases, we were way freaking off. And by way off, I mean I was way off on a couple of them. The other two guys were a little closer on a few, I believe. I could be wrong. Matt, how would you like to start us off with the SKs?
Well, if we look back, we made our picks in week number 5. It was kind of an early shot at who we thought was going to be around at the end of the season. For the SKs, we all picked who we thought were going to finish second, because we were all pretty sure who was going to win based on how the season was going. And ever since then, Majeski, I think he's up to 7 wins now. And now that the drop weeks are taken out, we have 7 races counting towards the points, and that's 7 victories counting towards the points for him. So, going back to who we thought was going to be in second, looks like myself and Bill and Clay, even though he's not here, we all picked Dale Owen, which seems to be a solid pick. He's currently 3rd in points. And then Mark, you picked Michael German, who is, well, he was at the time, he was 3rd in points. So let me skip forward to how we are right now. Race number 9, he's in 7th in points. So you were a little bit off there after the drop weeks and how that played out. So if we're looking at the point standings here once again, do we want to revisit our picks and kind of go over that? Or are you sticking with who you got there? I'll go with you, Bill. You're sticking with Dale Owen. I guess I'll mention first that you have moved up into the second after the drop weeks. 62 points behind Majeski. Dale Owen sits 93 points back, and Ian Lane sits 101 points back. So I guess you're either picking for yourself for second or picking against you, Bill, for second in points. Would you like to change your pick or no?
Well, it seems pretentious to pick myself, but in being in second place, that does mean that I could actually manipulate it a little bit. I could just crash and Dale will be right back in second place. And then we'll all be right again, except for Mark, who picked Michael German because Mark likes to be wrong.
Yeah. It was, like I said, he was running good early. I'm surprised that nobody picked you, Bill. Actually, I didn't realize that everybody had picked Dale Owen, which still looks like a good pick. But, yeah, Michael German was up there. I just don't know. Like I said, I haven't been around on Monday, so it was kind of a blind pick based on the standings. And I don't know if he's had a few tough weeks, but he is still in the mix, not too far out of third. He's still, or not too far out of, well, 3rd and 4th are 10 points apart. So he might be able to gain some ground, but I don't know if he'll be able to catch up to you, Bill, without you sandbagging for your pick, your original pick.
Hey, I'm not really going to do that. I don't think, unless there's money involved.
I wasn't counting on it. I was just brought up. So.
The season has been typically a tragedy, regardless of what car I've been driving this season. So the reason none of us picked me is because all I've been doing is hitting shit.
Well, looking back, when we made our picks in week 5, you were 8th in points, 168 points out of the lead. But you had missed a race then, too, so you kind of were down the list. I don't even think we probably looked at you just because you were down there a little ways. But you take out that drop week that you missed, and that puts you only about 68 points back, and I think that's even where you are right now, 62 back. So drop weeks have definitely benefited you, whereas early on we didn't even probably notice that you were, I don't even think you were near the top five based on points, but that's kind of brought you back. So Bill, you're sticking with Dale, just so you don't pick yourself. Mark, you switching it up? You gonna go with Bill now, you said?
Yeah, I'm gonna have to go with Bill.
I think I'm switching my pick to Bill for second place. Unless Majeski for some reason misses another race or two, I think he's got a pretty good shot to lock that up. But I know we're talking about the spring shootout a little bit later on, but after your performance in that, Bill dominated that race. I think you'll carry that momentum forward. And we'll talk more about some other guys that did well in that spring shootout that could maybe carry that over later into the season. But sounds like we were close in our picks, but Bill kind of threw us off there a little bit.
It's worth noting that Michael German's probably still going to continue doing good. He's had a few bad finishes, I think, over the course of just about every series, but he's always in the front, so I don't think Mark's choice is all that off, even though he might have fallen out of the top five. And we should mention also that Ian Lane's up there, and that's pretty sweet, too.
Yeah, I was just about to say, we can't count out Ian either. He and Michael German have been working together, and they've been improving with that partnership, and Ian's been running pretty well also. We'll kind of mention some other guys in points. I'm in fifth. I don't think I have a shot at anything in the top three. I've been a little bit off in that car. Matt Eddy had a good run in the spring shootout for most of that race. He's in sixth, and then we got Michael German, so there's a number of guys that are kind of right there between third and probably about eighth that could all jumble up by the time we revisit this whole points thing at the end of the season. So we'll have to see how that plays out.
Yeah, aside from the drop weeks, I think Bristol shook things up too, just because it's kind of like a Talladega Daytona where anybody can potentially be fast. But
actually, I was literally just looking at that because Michael German went into Concord, so week seven, and third, and he came out of Bristol sixth, so Bristol definitely hurt him.
Yeah, it's kind of a crapshoot. It's really fun, but it's a crapshoot.
Yeah.
And since we just mentioned it, I guess I'll bring it up that we did run those double features, and after the invert, James Wenzel was inverted towards the front of that race, and he actually picked up his first career win, so that was nice to see. And as we just mentioned, that did shake up the points quite a bit there after, you know, we had the invert. If anyone had two bad races, it definitely hurt them there. And a couple of guys had good runs in both, so that helped them. So having those two races right before the drop weeks definitely threw a wrench into everyone's points, I think. Except for the top of the standings, but it's interesting how things played out.
Yeah, I had a couple of good finishes there, so I think that's why I leapfrogged everybody. But we've talked about the SK enough, so let's move on to the street stock, where I don't get to race, and Mark, I don't even think you race at all in that series, do you?
It doesn't seem like it. I think one top 10 or two top 10s.
Oh, you do run the series.
I do.
Full time.
I'm just completely insignificant at that. So.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
Well, looking over the choices we got, Mark took Ty Spearman. Good choice. Clay went with Jeff By, who I'm fairly certain hasn't been showing up for all the races.
Clay picked him. He ran one more time and then didn't show up anymore. So
I went with Ty Spearman because, come on, he's Ty Spearman. We know what's up. And Matt went with Wetmore, which is a good choice, too. So, Matt, how are the points looking?
Well, it's been interesting all season because it's been a pretty good battle between Tommy Burns, Hunter Combs, and Tom Wetmore, and then Spearman had a race that he missed earlier, I believe, but he was kind of hanging in the points picture as well. And then now that we've taken out the two drop races, it's the same four guys that we've been talking about all season. Tommy Burns leads it, Hunter Combs is 12 back, Wetmore sits 33 back, and Spearman's 38 points back. That's only 38 points. That could change in one race, so even though Spearman's a little bit behind the eight ball, if you're looking at just at those numbers, all it takes is one good race from him and the other guys to, you know, finish even like maybe the back half of the top 10, and he's right back in the picture up front there. So this is a division we've been talking about all season as far as the closest points battle between multiple guys, and I think it's going to continue throughout the season.
Speaking of motivated, do you think there's a driver more motivated coming out of the big three to have a good finish, Spearman?
Oh, no kidding.
He's going to be on fire.
After the two bad ways that his races ended.
You probably know more than we do, Bill, but it seemed like he was working on his setups quite a bit for both of those and to only run probably 25 total green flag laps.
I think.
Yeah.
Between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty disappointed, and makes sense. we'll just leave it at that. What's cool, though, about these drop weeks is 38 points, you know, even if there weren't drop weeks, is a fairly insignificant margin for, at you know, any given time. So including the drop weeks, especially as soon as Spearman gets enough races that a drop week will actually benefit him, that 38 points could just straight up go zero instantly, regardless of where he finishes. It's crazy. I like the way it works.
And we started doing it a couple seasons ago where we introduced the drop weeks during the season, because it used to be we get to race 11 out of 12, and your first drop week gets taken out after that race. And you go into the last race with the points. You know, you could be first in points, but until you race the last race of the season, the way the drops work out, you could fall down to fifth in an instant. So by factoring in the drop weeks during the season, you kind of know where you stand heading into the final stretch. You know how many points you have to make up, where you need to finish, so on and so forth. And you can still make drop weeks. If you have a bad race this next week coming up, that'll take over for one of your other drop weeks and whatever. So from the admin side of things, it's nice seeing where everyone else stacks up. And I'm sure for the driver side of things, it also helps them kind of figure out where they need to be going into those last races.
Yeah, heading into the last third of the season, it just adds a little bit more drama to it. Makes it a little bit more exciting.
Anybody want to choose anybody different? I bet Clay probably wants to choose somebody different.
We'll give Clay the... there's got to be some gambling term there. When you pick horses, you pick just top three, whatever, and you if any of those guys place. So we'll give Clay, Tommy, and Hunter. I'm going to stick with Tom. I don't know about you guys, if you guys are changing, but I'll stick with Tom Wentmore. I think he's still got a chance. So we'll see how he does, but you guys both pick Spearman, so I'll see if you guys want to change.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Spearman. Like I said, I think he's going to come back on fire for the last 4 weeks of the season. I don't think there's going to be much stopping him.
As long as he shows up for the last 4 weeks pending work, I think he'll take over. If he doesn't, I think Tommy will probably be able to keep the lead.
But it's kind of interesting that we didn't change our picks just based on the fact that Tommy and Hunter have been 1-2 in the points, I'm pretty sure, every week of the season, or at least since week two. So I still think we're going to have a good battle on our hands coming down to it.
Agreed. It's definitely going to stay close like this until the very end, and it's pretty freaking sweet. I know Hunter's going to have a hard time because he's starting to get into his regular race season, and he's got a brand new real-life race car that he's never driven before yet. I think it's a street stock. It looks more like a sportsman, like what I drive. But where those guys come from, our sportsmen are their street stocks. Their cars are insane. So it's hard to say if Hunter will still have a chance, but between Tommy, Tom Wentmore, and Spearman, it'll be a hell of a race.
I agree. And I guess we'll move on into the pro late model division, where I was looking at this the other day. We'll make a note of our picks here in a second that we made earlier in the season, but the other day I was looking at this and we haven't had anyone dominate the pro late model division like we have the other divisions, where it's been, you know, two guys that have been duking it out for the points lead all season long, so on and so forth. The pro late model division is pretty much wide open. We have a couple, I would say, heavy hitters at the top of the standings. And there are a number of guys that are within 50 points that, like we've said, one bad race in these last four, the way the drop weeks kind of factor in. Any one of these guys that I've listed here in our notes that we were looking at, I think still has a chance. I think I listed, what, eight guys there that are within 50 points? So,
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of them there.
Seven, yeah.
All within 47 or less points. So, if, you know, talking about the street stock being close, that's even more close. And proof in point there that Michael German's been running really well is he's third in points, only 17 back, but behind Wendell and Spearman.
And I'll mention, since you just mentioned him, Michael German, he also got his first career Sarah win back in week 8 there. There was a little bit of drama in that race. We'll just leave it at that. Had to drop a couple guys from the top of the list, and Michael German won his first race by leading zero laps. So coming into the drop weeks, I'm sure that definitely helped him out and launched him up into third in the standings. But before we go through the standings, I guess we'll take a look. Well, no, I'll list the standings first. We'll go through that. So after drop weeks, Wendell Stratton has taken over the points lead. And actually, before I move on, Mark, I think you know more than anyone that he hasn't even been trying to run for points on purpose, but here he finds himself in the points lead.
He came in kind of in a unique situation after last season. The fall brawl, he was one of the many guys that got burned out by the fall brawl. Lots and lots of work and not a lot of results to show for it. And then going into the end of last season, he was in this position going up against you, Bill. And we kind of leaned on him a lot, put a lot of pressure on him to compete. And, you know, I think that might have been a little bit overwhelming, a little bit unfair. And so he really got burned out by the end of last season. And he really wasn't even sure if he was going to come back. And then he was just like, you know, I'm just here to have fun. I want to have fun. He's taken an EOL every single race, dropped to the back of the field. He's not racing for points. I believe he's already taken both of his drop weeks, or did we say he just missed one?
But I'll look while you're going on.
Yeah, so he's been out there having fun, and that's what he's been there for. And it's kind of funny that I don't know where he was before the drop weeks factored. But as soon as the points were uploaded, I went to check the points and just busted out laughing to see that he was right back on top.
It's funny how that works, and that's exactly what I did the previous season.
Yeah,
I had no intentions of running for points, and then as soon as the drop weeks hit, I found myself, I don't remember if I was in the lead or if I was in second, but that's kind of the way it works sometimes, although I wasn't taking EOLs, so that makes it even more impressive that he's in the lead.
Yeah, looking at the drop weeks, he missed one race, so he has one official drop there, and his other drop that he's used was a 60-point race, wherever that finish was. So if he wanted to, he could probably miss another race, but I think that would hurt his chances. But if he's out there running for fun and he's still in contention, then we'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
Just to list off those other guys that I mentioned, those seven guys within 47 points, we have Spearman, 9 points back. Michael German, 17 points back. Russell Berry, who was leading there for a few weeks, only dropped down to fourth after the drop weeks. I think he was afraid he was going to drop down more than that, but he's still in fourth, 27 points back. Tom Wetmore sits 30 points back. Mark, you're not too far behind there, 45 points back. And Dale Owen sits 47 behind. So there's seven guys all there with a shot. Going through the picks that we made after week five, Mark, you picked Tom Wetmore. He's still there in contention. What are your thoughts with him still?
Yeah, if he can keep his head underneath him, then I like him to still be up there. He's been competitive all season. Just has to keep his head screwed on straight and focus. And I think he's got a good shot at this.
I'll make note that Clay picked you, Bill, which was way off. So I don't even know where you are in points.
I continue to hit things, and there's a couple. I don't know if there's been one or two races I just didn't show up for. The last one, the one at Langley, which I think is the controversial race with all the weird stuff that happened that got Michael German his win by never leading a lap, which is awesome. I just straight up skipped. Like, I turned a lap or two, and it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. I hate this place. I'm going to go make a steak or something, so I did that instead. But I hit so many things so early in the season that it would be hard for me to make up for it. Like, everyone else has to suck some serious balls for me to make up that amount of distance. So
Pro late model campaign is looking almost identical to my street stock campaign. We're both sitting 11th in our respective, just completely insignificant, flying under the radar. Although you have had one pull, so you are quick, but
the headline every week is this guy won the race, and of course Bill crashed again, or in your case Mark crashed again.
Yeah,
Bill Martin crashes fifth week in a row, so and so wins.
Yes, right. Like, he did it 5 weeks in a row. Oh, by the way, Spearman won the race or something.
I'm looking at, just, we'll throw it out there. I'm looking at your points numbers throughout the season. 54, 58, you did have a 100-point race, so I think you finished second in that one. 54, 94, 71, 66, and 83. So you've had five or six races there under 66 points, which I'm pretty sure is like 22nd or something like that.
Yeah, so like four or five races, I basically like half showed up. So essentially, let's stop talking about me, though.
As about time, yeah.
Yeah, Michael German, he's up there. Russell Berry, it's pretty awesome to see those two in the top five, because with as many heavy hitters, as you put it, there are in this division that show up every week. Here are these two guys who don't usually find themselves that high this late in the season. And not only that, but they're competitive throughout the whole race. It's not a fluke that they're there. They're there for a reason. They're improving. Same with Ian and especially Dale Owen, Jesus Christ. Although, you know, he's a little lower on the list here, but Dale's improvement over the past three seasons is insane. He's really learned a lot. But it's cool to see new names at the top, including Tom Wentmore, because he's new to the series too. So it's good to see a bunch of new names. And of course, Wendell kicking all our butts by starting last.
Well, since you just listed off everybody on the list, you picked Cody Kelly for your picks a few weeks ago. He's not on that list. I don't think he's shown up since you picked him.
No, it's bullshit. He doesn't show up anymore. Ruined everything.
I'll give you the chance to pick a new guy. Out of those seven guys, who's your new pick?
Oh, I only get to pick out of these seven. I can't have whoever's eight. Oh,
you can certainly do that if you like. I don't think you want to pick me, but I guess I'm nine. But
Well, either way, I'm not going to pick you because you secretly told us before we started the podcast that you gave up, that you give up on the prolate models.
Very smart decision of you not to pick me.
I tell you what, depending on if Wendell keeps coming, even if he does start in the back, I think he would be the best person to choose. But I would like to see Michael German win. Hopefully not because he finished second or third and then won. Like, don't disqualify first and second just so Michael can win like he did in the race. Oh! No, seriously, I think Michael German's going to continue to improve, and I think he's got a pretty good shot. I don't necessarily want to say he's my pick, because I think Wendell's probably going to win, but I would like to see Michael German upset it.
And so for my pick I made a few weeks ago, I did pick Wendell, which so far has worked. I'm going to stick with that. We've talked about him enough, so I'm not going to go into depth into that. But during the street stocks, we talked about Spearman, how he's still in contention there. We're mentioning his name in the Pro Late Models and the Super Late Models as well. He's in second in late and pros, second in Super Late Models, within 10 points in each of those. If it's not Wendell, I think we're going to see Spearman. As like you said, as long as he is able to race the next few weeks, it's going to come down to those two at the top, in my opinion. But it's certainly
cool.
Wide open.
It would be cool to, yeah, it could be cool to see Spearman leapfrog his way into two championships, and then all of our predictions are wrong. I take that back. We did pick him for the street stock. My bad.
He's got a chance at three of them here. So.
Yeah, he still has a chance at three.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of which, let's move on to the super late models, where he does have another chance, and he's even less behind Krikorian in that one. Mark, who do you think is going to win? Your previous choice was Matt Rolfe,
yeah.
Which was a terrible choice because Matt's a terrible driver. I don't know why you chose him. Just kidding, Matt.
He's still there. He's within 50 points.
I've fallen behind off those top three for sure, but I'm hanging in there, but that's about all I got.
It's looking like Krikorian realizing that he has a chance at the championship might actually make it for the rest of the season.
Krikorian's really stepped up. He took a victory at Milwaukee in the last round of the regular season. So he's definitely eyeballing that championship now and working hard for it. So I think he's going to be my pick. Sorry to desert you, Matt, but...
That is definitely okay with me. Less pressure, you know?
Yeah.
Actually, I did see David posted on, I think it was Facebook, after he won that race, that he was pretty excited that he got his first win of the season, and then the second double feature race there, he gained points on the guys around him, so I can tell just based on that one post alone that he's definitely eyeballing the championship now, which is pretty cool to see. He's always been up there battling for wins and in the points when he's able to make it all the time, but now that he's, like you said, I think he's realized he's got a shot here, and so I think he's going to be tough to beat. Actually, I'm just looking at my pick now. I did pick him, so I'm sticking with him. I think he's going to be tough, but I don't think we can count out those other two. We talked about Spearman a couple times now already. He's still there. And Bill, I think with your pick a few weeks ago, you didn't give a definite pick. You mentioned me. You mentioned Cam Hamilton. I don't think you wanted to decide. Hamilton has been leading the points for a while now. And unfortunately, the drops didn't help him because I think he lost a little bit of points there to the other guys. Obviously, he fell down to third, but he's only 15 points back. So since you didn't pick anyone before, here's your chance to make a new pick.
Well, I ain't picking you. You suck. Oh, again. No. Now that the drop leagues and now that we know that Kerkorian's going to race, it'll be tough to beat Kerkorian. Because he's shown speed not just in a couple of races and then just had good luck. He's showed speed at every single race and has earned that position at the top. Knowing that he's potentially going to win, I'm sure he's going to show up for the rest of the races. It sounds like he said that probably to Mark in chat, or at least might as well have said it. So it will be hard to not choose him. But I think Spearman can beat him. And if anybody on the list can, it'll be Spearman. And because I might as well stick to my team, I'm going to go with Spearman. But I don't think anybody could count Hamilton out, who I kind of was leaning towards before. So I think that he could still do it too. And the speed he's been showing hasn't been limited to one or two tracks either. Hamilton's been at the front of every field.
Yeah, he's been the last 5 really weeks. Good. Yeah. For a while there, I was kind of hanging with him, and so he's been the one that I've been eyeballing as far as, like, hey, he's 5 spots ahead of me, I'm losing points in this race, or hey, I'm finishing ahead of him by 2 spots, there's a couple points for me. And then once the drop lease kind of took over, I fell off from him, so I'm not really going to be thinking the same way anymore, but he's been impressive. He's been good before. He ran earlier in our Super Late Model seasons, you know, a year or so ago, and he's done well. So it's nice to see him running for a full season and showing that he can be right there in the points. Actually, I think he finished 2nd in points in our first ever Super Late Model season. So he's done it before. He's got more competition now, and he's still right there in contention. So he's been impressive to me all season. So we'll see, I guess.
Not to mention it's a Super Late Model. It's the hard, you know, of the 4 series that you got here, it's the hardest to stay on top of. And he's been doing it every week. I don't even know if he's working with anybody, but he's doing it.
When the,
so that speaks loads.
When the average strength of field for our Super Late Model races, you know, 20-plus cars per race, when that strength of field is, I want to say right around 4,000. We've had a couple over 4,000. We've had some in the 3,800 range. That's a pretty crazy strength of field when you have 20 cars in it, and there's guys like myself that are bringing that number down. when you have that many cars in there that are that good, you know, you really see how you stack up against these guys. And even with the spring shootout, I was setting up the grid for that race. Those guys that were in the qualifying dash, those top 10 spots, and including the 4 posse guys that were 11th through 14th, I bet the average strength of field of just those guys alone are probably closer to 5,000, 6,000. It was ridiculous, the names that we have up at the top of, you know, the fastest guys in the league that come out every week. It's pretty crazy, so.
Without question. And now that you've brought up the spring shootout, why don't we move on and talk about that? The question is, do we talk about the SK first or do we talk about the super late first?
I would say we talk about the SK first. Yeah.
We all know you want to talk about yourself, yeah. Bill. So
everybody plug their ears. This is going to be a long ride.
It is. Who won that race, by the way?
This podcast is not going to turn into a 2-hour show because it's going to be an hour of Bill just yapping away.
I can't remember.
Guys,
I didn't see it.
Do you guys, you know? Oh, well, in case you didn't know, it was me. I won.
We didn't know you won because you were so friggin' far in front of the field most of the time.
I you have no idea how stressed out I was the whole time I was in front. It's like every lap has to be perfect because everyone behind me is turning the same goddamn lap times. It was ridiculous. Like, I don't remember who was in second place. I think Tommy was for a while and James was for a while. God,
I was
going to
say there was
back and forth.
There was probably four other guys during the course of the race that were constantly in the top five. I think it was Tommy Burns, James Lincoln, Austin Yarbrough was up there for a while, and then Tim Bills was in the top five for most of the race.
It was insane. Everybody was turning the same lap times every lap. I remember going 1/10 ahead of somebody, whoever was in second place. Five laps later, it was the same. Six laps later, I lost the 10th. Two laps later, I gained a 10th. Four laps later, I lost it again. And it was like that, not just for me and who was in second place. It was that for the top freaking, good Lord, like probably the top six, seven cars. Everybody was turning the same lap time. So it was super stressful for me leading, and I'm sure everybody else too, because nobody could gain. It was impressive how tight everybody was.
Yeah,
I did. And it seemed kind of tough to pass as well, because for most of the end of the race, when you had Dale up there along with Tim, Bills, James, and Tommy, they were nose to tail just riding, and like Tim just kind of hung at the back of that pack and just really couldn't go anywhere, but they couldn't drop him either. And it was Bill, you had some space, and then those four cars just nose to tail lap after lap.
When the races are that close and they're that many laps, it takes forever.
And there wasn't a whole lot of cautions either, so you're just out there constantly running laps. And the, not that the SKs wear out the tires all that much, but the longer you go during the run, you know, you kind of fall off a little bit. I was searching around for a line there for a while. I was off the pace from you guys a little bit, those top five there, but as the run went on, I think we had a caution on lap 25. The next one wasn't until about lap 125. So we had about a 100-lap green flag run where I was going to say a minute ago that it seemed like you were able to pull away early in the run, but that after about five laps, everything kind of evened out, and those guys were able to hang within 2 seconds of you, it seemed like. So they were...
Yep.
It's not like you pulled away and dominated that way, but it was a constant two-second gap there that they weren't catching you and you weren't really pulling away. So it... Like you were saying, it's nice to have that gap there, but any one mistake could have changed that in an instant. And I think some of those guys in the top five had those mistakes every once in a while, because those top five did jumble quite a bit throughout the race. You know, one guy would get loose off the corner and drop back to fifth and then work his way back up and all that. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because James, I think he almost wrecked the car coming off of turn four, and then Dale also had a moment where the car got loose coming off of turn two and tagged the inside wall, and they were both fortunate enough to come back from those, but scary moments early on for those two guys.
Dale came back on strong, too, so it was unfortunate that he ended up spinning out. I think it was with Tommy.
Tommy, yep.
Seemed like he had a short run car to about maybe 40, 50 laps. Because early on there in the first run there, he charged all the way up to second at one point. And then he did have that incident, and he fell back quite a ways on the long run. That 100-lap run that we had, he did fall back. I think he fell back to sixth, because I was way off from the group there, and he kind of fell back to me, and I got by him before we had the next caution. But then we had the caution, and we only had 50 laps left, and he was right back up there by the end of the charging, trying to gain as many spots as he could. So he definitely had a short run car. And unfortunately, there was an incident between him and Tommy. I took a lot of looks at that incident, trying to figure out if it was one person's fault or the other. And when I really thought about it, it was 10 laps to go. Those guys are racing for seconds, or I think it was either second or third. And it was just a racing deal. Tough break for Dale. I think he ended up spinning and ending up on his lid. And I think he finished just outside the purse-paying position there. But he definitely showed that he was there to run up front and do pretty well. And he did up until that incident there. He showed he was going to have a good finish.
I think he was probably fast enough that he could have won the race just as well as anybody else in the top five.
And that was the thing, too, is he couldn't make qualifying night, so he started last. We only had 17 cars in the race, but he had to work his way towards the front and gain track position. And then once he got to that top five, it was hard to keep that track position, because like you said, all those guys are so equal up there that it was hard to even get up in a second without having to fight with those guys, never mind trying to catch up to you.
Well, I think we've said enough about that race. Congratulations to the winner. I believe that was me.
I think you took home a whopping $23.
He sure did, or at least he will when you send the goddamn check.
And before we move on real quick, I'll just finish out the results for the top 10 guys that they got their money back at least. So Bill, you won. James ended up second. Tommy Burns in third. Tim Bills fourth. I ended up fifth. Clay Snyder came up and finished sixth. Scott Dunlap had a good run in seventh. Ian Lane eighth. Michael German ninth. And Matt Eddy finished 10th, but he was battling with me there for a fifth place finish at the end. He was one of the few guys I noticed that had a really good long run setup versus a short run. Dale had the short run setup. Matt Eddy was charging towards the front, at least up into the top five towards the end of that long run there. And then by the end of the race, he was still battling for a fifth place finish. And I think he ended up catching the wall in the last couple laps, but it was nice to see him up there battling for that top five as well. So those were the guys that finished top 10 and made at least their money back, at least $5 back for their entry fee. Up to Bill, you got $23, which I will be getting to you. I know. Get it to you tomorrow.
Woohoo!
But that looks like we'll wrap it up there for the SK. We'll move on to the super late model part of the spring shootout event,
which was broadcasted very, very well by LSR TV, by the way.
That it was
on the website, on the homepage. And if you guys haven't watched that yet, what the hell is wrong with you? Because it was fantastic to go back and watch that.
It was definitely a good broadcast by those guys. They always do a good job, which is why we keep going back to those guys. We've used them a number of times now. And they are good enough where prior to actually booking a broadcaster for the race, we have a league members group. And I asked everyone in the league, I said, do you want LSR TV to broadcast it, or do you want these other guys to broadcast it? It was a hands-down vote for LSR TV, which shows the quality that they do. And so that made it my decision pretty easy. We changed the race date a day so we could book those guys, and they did a great job for us, as always. And so kind of just recapping the race a little bit, Joe Schaefer earned the pole from the qualifying dash win on qualifying night, and it took Cody Kelly, let's see here, it took him about 33 laps before he got to the front, and kind of like the SK race, it was all Cody Kelly up front instead of Bill Martin. He went on to dominate the race.
Screw that, a super late model. Bill Martin never dominates a super late model race because he's not smart enough to figure out how to drive the damn car.
Well, I was saying it was similar to you dominating the SK race. Cody dominated the super late model race. I never complimented.
Did you want to go back and talk about the SK race?
No,
we go back and talk about the SK race.
Enough of you.
Okay.
Never complimented you on your super late model crappy finishes. But no, it was
they're crappy.
It was Cody Kelly up front who ended up winning the race. Went on to lead 211 laps. Obviously, he had a fast car, probably the car to beat anyways, but we did have that one giant-ass wreck just prior to halfway that did take a lot of guys out of contention, unfortunately. I don't know if anyone would have had a real shot at Cody Kelly or not. We were never going to know because no one got the chance
Yeah. Nobody was going to touch him. He was insane. He was, good Lord, what was it, 50 laps into the run? If we're talking green flag laps, he was more than a tenth faster than everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody, not just some, every single car. It's insane how quick he was at that track. Whatever he did for his setup, and if Tim Bills told me was accurate that he was on his own setup, that's pretty friggin' awesome.
Yeah, there were kind of two setups going into the race, and then Cody shared his, and everybody kind of made their changes to it. You know, some people went one direction, some people went the other direction with it, and apparently leaving it alone turned out to be the right way to roll with it, because David Krikorian and David Stratton were on one
Wendell
strategy.
Stratton to everybody else.
Sorry, yeah, Wendell Stratton. They were on the same setup, I believe, and they actually towards the end, they were pretty quick. But same with, I think Austin Yarbrough was up there as well.
It's too bad that we had that big wreck too, because like I said, there were so many guys that could have been, maybe not Cody Kelly fast, but in contention for even second that never got the chance to race it out. I know we had a competition caution at lap 100, where that was the plan anyways. And so it seemed like those first 100 laps that everyone was kind of, they were taking it easy. We're just trying to get to lap 100, get to that first set of tire change and then go from
except
there.
Except for Cody Kelly, who was driving his ass off every lap, probably lazily, but that was fast. Continue.
But once we got towards the end of that run, we did see some guys start to fall off a little bit and some guys kind of make their way forward a little bit. And then we had those cautions and then the big one, and then it took out a lot of good guys. I know just before we had our first caution there, or I guess it was technically the second caution around lap 80, it seemed like Bill, the guys that you were racing around and yourself, seemed like you guys were fighting pretty hard and kind of falling back a little bit. And there was a couple of us that chased you guys down. We were battling side by side there right before we had that caution, which was some pretty good battling.
There was about 4 or 5, maybe 6 positions ahead. Cody is in his own world, but everybody else, there was 3 or so cars around where I was, which is about maybe 6th through 8th. And then your pack, which was probably 9th through maybe 11th, and you caught us like we were standing still when it came towards the end of the run.
And the crazy part about us catching you was Kyle Holzhausen and Fred Moreau were side by side for probably 40 out of 60 laps leading up to that.
I saw that.
So we were they were side by side catching you guys.
Yeah. And it was... LSRTV did a great job of covering that, because Bill, you kind of tore through that pack and they covered that you were coming to the front, and you went through that pack and drove away, and then 20 laps later they're
light switch
right on your tail, and all the whole pack's back together again. And it was really cool too to see Fred Moreau. He was running the outside, and Matt, I think you were following him. You guys were running the outside and really making it work. And that's why they were running side by side, because nobody could get past on the inside. The guys that had that outside hooked up they had it hooked up.
Yeah, Fred figured that out pretty early, because Kyle made a move once and Fred held him off, and then Fred stayed up there and then held him off for the next 60 laps. So, and I didn't really have anywhere to go. I couldn't pass Kyle on the bottom, and every time he was able to clear himself, he just came up to the top and we rode in line, and we were all quick. We just had nowhere to go. And there's definitely some guys up towards the front, towards the end of that run, that were doing well. Joe was still up there. Wendell, there's another few guys, I'm sure, that got taken out. Spearman, unfortunately, got taken out early with James. But Tim Bills was up there during that long run, and those are some of the names that got caught up in that big wreck, unfortunately. And then I think it was Krikorian counted another one of his posts on Facebook. Sounds like I'm creeping him on there, but his name just pops up in my feed. But after that race, he said, I think he counted 23 out of 29 cars were involved in that wreck.
Wow.
Just crazy.
It's tough when you have you've got that many cars on the track and the wreck happens over third place. Like, that's tough.
And it's coming out of the corner, a lot of the guys couldn't see until they got to the straightaway, and by that time it was pretty late. And
it's you can't have 20-plus cars any closer than what they were. Not a whole lot of reaction time.
I was one car behind the crash, and I didn't see it start, is how quick it happened.
Yeah.
Well, it happened right in front of my nose, and I ended up trying to slow down for it, and it just happened so quick. Next thing I knew, I was turning around and getting run over many a times as everyone else is getting caught up in it as well. But it's how it goes sometimes.
It looked like a good old-fashioned NASCAR 2003 crash is what it looked like.
Kind of, yeah. But after we had that big wreck, there was a lot of torn up cars, which just helped Cody Kelly pull away even more than he had before. Krikorian was able to, I think he ran in second the rest of the night. I don't think he ever fell off of that spot, except for maybe during the pit cycle, the second round of pit cycle. And then Austin Yarbrough and Wendell Stratton, they battled for third. I think the rest of the race as well, back and forth. But a couple guys that were able to get some good finishes out of it to kind of wrap up this recap. James Wenzel, we've talked about him a lot this season as a new guy who's been consistently in the top 10, top 5 in that range. He kind of reminds me a little bit of Jason Williams from last season. Jason did well in our big event and ran well all season long as a new guy. And James Wenzel has kind of taken that role this season. Unfortunately, Jason has not been around as much, but James has been that new guy that's been running up in the top 5, top 10, had a good run in a big event once again, so that's cool to see. Russell Berry, 6th place finish. We've talked about him a little bit, who's still in contention in the late model points. It's because he's around at the end of the races and he's running in the top 10. Once again, 6th place finish. Joe Schaefer finished 7th. He fell back a little bit because I don't think he was able to pit at the same time as everyone else at the end of the race. I think, Mark, you were helping him out. I don't even know what happened there.
Scary engine situation. Basically, from that accident, we just really weren't sure, given the rate that cars were popping their engines after that, we really weren't sure where he was on temps, so he was just kind of riding and praying. So we really weren't sure where, like I said, he had front end damage and he just didn't want to push it, didn't want to be behind anybody. But he did a good job of holding on to what he could and getting a consistent pace, dropped back to 7th and just kind of rode back there.
Yeah, he hung in 7th and made some money. So he played it safe and it worked out for him. Mason Dunn finished 8th. He was a guy that came on the forums, was asking about the race, showed up, didn't think he was going to be that good. He personally was kind of unsure about himself, and I told him, I said, all you got to do is survive. And he did that, finished 8th, had a good run, finished on the lead lap. Nice job by him. And then to round out the top 10, Clay Snyder and Bill Martin had a horrible run in 10th. But the two of you, Clay and you, Bill, were caught up in the wreck. You ended up going a lap down, but hung on for a top 10 finish. So, horrible run for you. Nice job.
Yeah, thanks. It was at least worth sticking it out so I could get my money back, so I could get some more hookers and blow.
And then we joked about it, but I'll mention it here. That the other big battle during the course of the race was for that 20th position. after the big wreck, a lot of guys were knocked out of the race, many laps down, but we paid out the top 20, at least our money back. So guys are trying to get back up to 20th spot. So if they could run, 20 laps and gain a spot to get up there, they were doing it, including myself. I worked my way up to 19th at one point and said, I think I'm good for a little bit. My car's damaged. I'm not really having fun riding around, so I'm going to pull in. I went to downshift on my way into the pits, and my car blew up. And fast forward to the end of the race, and there's 3 guys that overtake me for 20th position. They won their money back. I didn't get mine back. So it was kind of funny to see guys just out there logging laps, just trying to get their entry fee back, which was, I think, a couple of guys snuck it out on the last lap. So that was kind of funny to watch as well.
Yeah, congrats to Daryl Hamlin for chugging along. We didn't think he made it. We thought he came one lap short. And but yeah, he was able to snag that 20th spot coming to the checkers. It leapfrogged him up. But that's another guy that tough luck. He definitely could have been somebody that was towards the end of that long green flag run. He got shuffled back at the beginning, and sometimes Daryl's a little too content to get shuffled back to the back of the pack, and unfortunately wound up getting caught up in that wreck. But before he got caught up in the wreck, he'd still had a pretty competitive car and just wasn't showing everything yet, and unfortunately never got that opportunity.
And
fortunately was able to get his entry fee back.
I was gonna say, the battle for 20th there was Tommy Burns 19th and Daryl 20th. They were 85 laps down, and they were able to move ahead of Tyler Breeding, who was 86 laps down, one lap behind those guys at the end of it. So that worked out for them.
But who wins the Heartbreak Award once again?
Definitely, yeah. Ty Spearman.
Ty Spearman has the Tough Luck Award of the Week.
He was probably
earlier 27 laps out of or 425 laps.
Something like that, yeah.
He completed all 27.
I think after the fall brawl last, I believe it was November 1st, so last November, he dominated the first two-thirds of that race, took his set of tires late and was working his way up through and got caught up in a wreck. So he didn't get a chance to win that one after he did so damn good in that one. He was the Cody Kelly of that race. He was out there in his own zip code just pulling away. And so I think coming into this big race, I knew he worked a lot on the setup just based on he was asking me like what the weather was in advance and stuff like that. And I knew he was in practice sessions, and for him to only be able to make it one lap in the first race or in the super late model race, that definitely sucked pretty bad. At least he was able to make some laps, but I don't think at that point it really mattered to him. So he definitely gets the heartbreak award.
Yeah, I think out of anybody in the field, he probably would have been one of the few guys that maybe could have given Cody a chance at a run. But now we'll never know. So I guess we could just say whatever we want. Cody would have, Cody would have been doomed if Ty Spearman didn't crash on lap one.
Absolutely.
Everybody knows that. All right, so that should wrap up the spring shootout recaps. So moving on to the final segment of today's little podcast. Mark, why don't you let us know what tracks to expect this coming week for the Sarah regular season?
All right, so after a week off, the SK Modifieds are rolling into Langley Speedway for a 125-lap night race. There will be no tires for that race. The Street Stocks, after 2 weeks off, are going to be going to Richmond International for a 75-lap night race. They will have four extra tires available for that race. The Pro Late Models will be going to Southern National Motorsports Park Wednesday night, 150-lap night race. Need to note for that one, there will not be any tires, so it will kind of be a bit of a long race for the night, but hopefully without that whole tire chaos that the Super Late Model had. And the Super Lates will wrap up the week with a 125-lap feature at Oxford Plains Speedway in the late afternoon, and they will not have any extra tires as well.
Sounds like a pretty sexy week right there, Mark.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be a pretty good week. I'm excited for the late model race, not having the tires. You know, pit road at that track is insane, so unless you're in the top three, you can pretty much be guaranteed that you're screwed on pit stops. You'll have to take two pit stops. So as a result, Matt has decided to drop the tires at that track just for the ease of it. And it might get slick. It is a night race, but it might get slick. Everybody's going to have to deal with it, so it could be pretty exciting. But as far as this podcast goes, it is freaking over. So, we're going to end right there. Thank you all for listening very much. My name is Bill Martin. Matt Rolfe with me, Mark Gammack. We'll talk to you mother truckers next time.